Pursuing Christ-likeness. This is the third part of this particular theme on verses 12 through, Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14, where, let me just read those. Not that I have already reached the goal or am already fully mature, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. And that is what I was calling the beginning of the race, the start of the race. When Jesus takes a hold of you, okay, in other words, you got saved. You accepted Christ as your Savior. You're now part of the family. That's where the race begins. And at that point, God is busy conforming you to the image of His Son. And then in verse 13, he says, brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forget what is behind and reach forward to what is ahead. And that's what I call the course of the race. In other words, okay, you started the race, then the rest of your life, you're on this course, you're on this path, and in order to achieve what God would have us be like His Son, we have to focus on that. He says, forgetting one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I reach forward to what is ahead. You know, and what is ahead of you, you need to know. You need to know, you know, God's got a purpose for you. There's a calling for you, and we're going to talk about that today. But, you know, there's a reason why you're here. And sometimes those reasons change. In other words, once He accomplishes something in your life, then there's always something else. And we need to understand that. But then today, I call this the ends of the race. The ends, not the end. But it's like, to what ends is this? And of course, it is becoming like Jesus. So, because there is, at the end, there's going to come a day when the race is over. You're done. And what was that all about? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Paul challenges us to consider the ends of the race, meaning to not forget what God is wanting, that God is wanting to conform us to the image of His Son. And he says this in 14, where he says, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly or upward call in Christ Jesus. And so we need to understand that God is not done working in us until He achieves whatever it is that He's wanting to achieve in our life. And that may be very specific things to us, but in the end, we're Christ-like. And that's what He's trying to achieve. And so we're going to look at this verse 14 and see what practical wisdom it contains. And so first of all, the race must be a personal pursuit. It's a personal pursuit. He says, I pursue as my goal. You know, what is your goal? You know, you ever stop and just, you know, set aside all the stuff that's going on in your life, all the things you're involved with, all the people, all the relationships, everything. Just kind of clear that out and then ask yourself, what is my goal? What am I striving for in this life? I mean, there's a lot of things that we do. But what are we trying to do? What are we trying to accomplish? What is the end of the path where I'm going? Where is that going to end up? Is it going to end up being Christ-like, or is it going to end up maybe nothing like what Christ would be? We need to take time and analyze ourselves, examine ourselves. What is it that we should be doing? What is it? What should be our ultimate goal? And it's a personal pursuit. It's personal. You know, Paul wasn't talking about anybody else's. He says, I pursue as my goal. My goal. Bible, very, very familiar verse. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you or be added to you. You know, we're so busy trying to seek other things that we kind of forget the fact that we need to be pursuing God and His kingdom, His righteousness, Seek his righteousness. What is that? That's being like Christ. Christ was the embodiment of God's righteousness. He's a righteous, holy God. The Bible says there is no darkness in him at all. He's totally light. He's a righteous, holy God. And the Bible tells us we need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all the other things that you're concerned with that you think is so important, that I think is so important in my life, God will provide those things. Our problem is we may have a little bit of fear about, you know, what if this isn't what God wants for me? Is he going to take this from me? I kind of like this. This is something I've always enjoyed. And I'm not talking about something bad. I'm just saying, you know, maybe that's just not what God wants you to do, good or bad. And we need to clear the path so that we can focus on what the Lord wants. We must choose. We choose to do this. What are you seeking? Are you seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Or are we busy seeking all this other stuff that we think is going to make us happy or whatever, fulfilled? The race is a personal pursuit. Secondly, the race has a promised prize. You know, at the end of every race, there's a reward. There's a winner's thing if you win. But, you know, even if you don't win, when you finish the race, you have accomplished something. And in the Christian life, the race was already won for you by Christ Jesus. When he died on the cross and rose again, he conquered sin and death, and you inherit that. You inherit the victory when you accept Christ as your Savior. And there's a promised prize. Look at this. He says, "Dear friends," this is John writing, "we are God's children now." Do you understand if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you are now a child of God? And, you know, a lot of times we say that, and we kind of know it intellectually, but then things happen, and sometimes we feel like, oh, you know, God doesn't really love me, or, you know, we get into this bad mindset. But you are his child. And nothing is better than that. You were adopted into his family. We are God's children. And what we will be has not yet been revealed. In other words, each one of us, what we will be, we don't know yet what that's going to be like, what we will be. We are, though, moving on a path, hopefully, of being more Christ-like, of being more like Jesus. But at the end is when we're going to be there. You know, you never get there. You know, you say, wow, okay, I got this anger thing kind of licked. You know, God's been working with me. Oh, man, now I've got to work on my forgiveness. Or I got to work on my pride. You know, I mean, there's always something. You know, it's there. But we will be like Christ one day. And he says, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. But we know that when he appears, we will be like him. Because we will see him as he is. There's going to come a day when we will understand him more fully. Now, even in heaven, you know, when all this is done and Christ has returned and everything is done and now we're at the end of Revelation, it's a new heaven, new earth, marriage supper of the Lamb and all that stuff, we're still not going to know everything there is to know about God. Because God is infinite and we still won't be God, okay? We may have the mind of Christ, we may have, you know, a glorified body and all those things, but we're still not going to know God like he is, but we will see him as he is. Christ's going to be there with us, but there's still going to be more to know. Heaven is not going to be a boring place, folks. I mean, the worldly depictions of heaven are pretty lame, really. I mean, I'm just being honest. It does not enthrall me to sit on a cloud playing a harp for eternity. I mean, okay, it might be cool for a while, but eternity? Really? Eternity? No, heaven's going to be a hopping place. There's going to be stuff going on. Okay, it is. I mean, Jesus gave us hints. You know, he says, oh, you've been faithful in a few things. Well, you know, in the time to come, there's going to be many things for you to do. Now, I don't know what that's going to be. You know, there's some things we just don't know. But heaven's going to be a hopping place. God doesn't change. He's a creative person. He's creator. He could be creating more things. And we'll have a part in that, you know, some kind of responsibility in that. So, you know, heaven is something, it's going to be cool. It's not going to be boring. It's not going to be lame. It's going to be exciting. It's going to have action. God's a God of action. There's going to be action taking place. You know, get your mind off that angel and the harp thing, you know. It's not going to be there. We're not going to be angels. You know, a lot of people think that, oh, I'm going to be, you know, my one that died, they're an angel now. No, they're not. The angels are the angels. People are people. Okay? It stays the same. Yeah. So anyway, we will be like him one day, though. The race has a promised prize. Okay? For everyone. For everyone that names the name of Christ. Third, the race has a perfecting purpose. A perfecting purpose. He says, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by what? God's heavenly or upward, might may say upward in your version, call in Christ Jesus. You know, there's we are Christians. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you're a Christian, and there's a perfecting purpose for you if you're a child of God. You know, promised by what? God's heavenly call. What's your call? Do you even know? God's called you to something. Something good. Something fulfilling, something that has impact. I like this. This is Paul writing the Corinthians, I think. Philippians, sorry. Yeah, it's in this thing, in this book. So then, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, not all, only in my presence, you know, there's a good principle right there. Kind of as an aside. You know, sometimes I can be pretty good about obeying things as long as someone's with me. You know? But he says, it's not only my presence, but now even more in my absence. You know, it's kind of like some of you here are teachers or are teachers. And what happens when the teacher walks out of the classroom? You know? And we used to go crazy, you know? Start throwing stuff at each other and, you know, whatever. You know, but we'd be good. We'd be sitting there like this when the teacher was in there. Of course, that was back when they could actually hit you and stuff, you know? And we'd be good. You know, we'd sit there. And then she'd walk out of the room or he'd walk out of the room. It was like open season on, you know, whatever. Depending on the age, you know. I think, you know, like fourth grade, it was spit wads, you know. You get a little older and it's other things, paper planes and whatever. But, you know, Jesus isn't right here with us. And I'm sure the disciples, when Jesus was right there with them, they were. But you notice whenever he would be addressing things, they'd be like murmuring among themselves. Then Jesus is going, why are you doing this? Why do you think in this way? Haven't I told you this? You know, we're really quick when. But he says, in his absence, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. So that's what this is talking about, the perfecting purpose. When you get saved, the moment you accept Christ your Savior, you need to be working out your salvation. That doesn't mean you're working for salvation. It means you're saved, and now you need to be doing something. Okay, there's a purpose. There's a ministry. There's something you ought to be doing. Okay, and it could be different. We'll get into that for everyone. We're going to get into that. Yeah, don't think just because we're already at the end of the third thing in 14, we're done, because we're not done. But work out your own salvation in what? Fear and trembling. It means we need to take this seriously. You know, it's like when the teacher comes back in the room, everybody's like, oh, you know. We need to work out our salvation, what we are doing in this life, with fear. Not the kind of fear where you know, it's with respect. It's like a respectful, you know, I feared my father. I wasn't afraid of him, but I did fear him. And we need to fear our Heavenly Father. He's holy. He's just. He has a purpose for us. And we need to realize he's wanting to work with us, but we've got to make that move towards him. Fear and trembling. For it is God who is working in you. He's working in you, enabling you to both what? Desire his good purpose and to work out his good purpose. Both to desire and to work out his good purpose. He's got a purpose for you. It's a good one. Okay? It's a noble one. It's going to be a positive impact for the kingdom of God. And he's working in you. And he is in you. The Spirit is in you. The power of God is in you. And that enables you to desire something that you may have never desired before. I never wanted to go on mission trips. But God brought me to a place, and now I've gone. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it's kind of, we're spoiled here in America. So you get in some of these places, it's like, whoa. But then once I work out his purpose for me in that setting, I'm glad I went. And I have the desire to go back again. It's amazing how God works that out inside you. But the race, your life has a perfecting purpose. God is using your life to perfect you. Mature you, in other words, in the faith. So, you might say, what do I do? What do I do? Well, first of all, you got to worship the sun, and not the sun in the sky. Son of God. And you give him honor and glory, and you read about him in the Word, especially the first four of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, gives you a tremendous description of how Jesus dealt with people and how he lived his life. And we need to emulate that. We need to characterize ourselves like that. And you need to worship him. Is he your all in all or not? Is it all of him and none of you or not? Is your focus on him or not? Does your praise go to him or not? I mean, that's, you know, worship. Secondly, apply the scriptures. You know, you read the word. You worship God, that's great. Come to church, worship. Worship him in your home, maybe in the morning. You know, prayer time and all that, and acknowledge him. But then you get in the Word of God. I mean, if you want to find your purpose, folks, you got to get in the Word of God. Because the Word of God's going to show you some things that you ought to be doing and show you some things you need to stop doing. And then you're going to grow. And you need to apply the scriptures to your life. You know, there's a ton of people that memorize the scriptures, but it doesn't do anything to their life. They, you know, they're kind of satisfied. And I've known people that will walk out of a service, oh man, that guy tore me up today. And then they just stay the same. It's kind of like while they're here, they get convicted, but then as soon as they leave, well, you know, back, okay, I did my time in the church there, now I'm going to, you know, live my life. If you really want to know God's purpose, if you really want God to work through you, you got to worship Him, but you also got to study His Word and apply it to your life. Just one thing at a time. I know it's a thick book, okay? I know there's a lot of stuff in here. But He will reveal to you the one thing you need to do first. And then you work on that. And then you know what? As you go, other stuff will be revealed to you. Apply the Scriptures. Third, minister to the saints. Minister to the saints. You start getting involved. You know, Bible tells us we need one another. We need one another for encouragement, for help, or sometimes you might be the one doing the encouraging. We minister to one another. So important. But, you know, what did Jesus say? He says, the world's going to know you love me by the way you love one another. So it's important to love one another and minister to one another. And we do that. I mean, many times when I go to the hospital, somebody else that's not the pastor has been there. And that's cool. That's cool. That's part of ministering to one another. You know, all the people that worked and did everything to make the movie night happen. You know, that was cool. And we had a good time. And it was a great movie. So, I mean, you minister to one another. But also, we need to impact the sinners. You worship, you apply the Scriptures to your life, you start ministering in the church. But don't forget, we're called to have outside impact. Impact on people that don't know the Lord. Being ready to give a good word. Being ready to share the gospel if the circumstances dictate so. That's what we do. But how do we do this? How do we do this? Well, number one, you got to start right where you are. I know that sounds kind of silly, but sometimes people try to start somewhere where they're not. You know, if you don't know the gospel, how are you going to share Christ? So if you're going to start, you got to start where you are. Say, okay, I need to know the gospel. I need to know the good news. You know, I feel like God wants me to be a teacher, but I've never taught anything ever before. Well, then you go to somebody and say, you know, I'd like to teach, but I really don't know how. Can you, you know, disciple me? Can you help me grow? You got to start where you are. You can't start where someone else is. You got to think about it. Where am I in my walk with God? What abilities and attributes do I have? What spiritual gift or gifts do I have? You got to start right where you are. And then God will move you to where He wants you to be. The Ethiopian eunuch, this is one of my favorite verses. He's in a chariot. He's reading Isaiah, and he's reading about Christ. But he doesn't have a clue. He's coming back from a synagogue, okay, which they don't believe that Jesus was who He said He was. So, but he's reading this passage, and the Lord is working on his heart, and he's like, I need to know. And Philip just, you know, and the Lord's already been moving. He knows this guy's heart. And Philip's been over here, and all of a sudden, he's having great success. You know, lots of people coming to the Lord. Then he says, I need you to go to the desert. And he sends Philip down there, and then he intersects with this guy in a chariot. And then he's kind of running alongside him. And the guy's reading the Word. And he says, do you understand? Do you understand what you're reading? And the guy goes, who is this guy that I'm reading? He read the Scripture. Who is this guy? Is this somebody, has he already come? Is he gone? Is it somebody here? Who, you know, I don't know who this guy is. And so Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus, beginning from that Scripture. Wherever that guy was at, You know, so many times we want to take people somewhere where they're not at, and that'll be frustrating. You just start, when you start ministering to people, you got to start ministering to them right where they're at. And you preach unto them Jesus. Wherever it is. That's where you got to start. You got to examine yourself and be honest with yourself and with God. And let Him reveal to you where you're at, and He will bring you along. He doesn't want you to stay the same. So you got to start where you are. You got to strengthen the gifts that you have. Strengthen the gifts that you had. Let's look at this verse, these two verses. He said, this is Paul writing to Timothy, "Therefore I remind you to keep ablaze the gift of God that is in you." Is your gift ablaze? Do you even know your gift? Listen, everyone that accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, you get the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into you. Okay? Spirit of God resides within you. Your spirit comes alive. And now your spirit is witnessing with His Spirit. His Spirit is, you know, working with your spirit. Okay? That's how that works. And then the Holy Spirit is going to want to express Himself through you. And that's what we call the gifts. And there's different gifts. There's a bunch of them. Servant, a giver, an organizer. I mean, we're going to get into some of that. Whatever your gift is. But you got to strengthen them. And how do you strengthen a gift? Well, how do you strengthen a muscle? You use it. You lift a weight. And that weight, yeah, it might hurt. It, you know, you start getting the muscle burn. But you know what? You get stronger. The only way you're going to get stronger as a Christian is to use your gift. It's the only way. You got to use it. You got to apply it to your life and maybe to the lives of others if that's what, you know, if you're called in that kind of a ministry. And a lot of times it changes due to the seasons of life. You know, we got people in our church that have children. Well, you know what? A lot of your energy and your gifts going to be going to your kids because you got kids. And they consume energy. But then comes a season when the kids are older and maybe gone, and now you can do something different. And yeah, grandkids, there you go. That's all the fun, none of the responsibility. That's always my motto. But you do have a responsibility. The Bible talks about it. But keep ablaze the gift. Don't let it go out. Use your gift. For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness. You know, a lot of times we say, well, you know, I feel like I kind of ought to be doing this, but I'm scared because I've never done this before. Listen, that's not God's spirit working in you. God did not give you that spirit of fearfulness. That's the devil working on you because he doesn't want you to use your gift. Because guess what? God might use you to impact the kingdom some way. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. You understand you have power? You have love? And you have sound judgment. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's guiding you. And the Holy Spirit has power. And the Holy Spirit is love because God is love and the Holy Spirit is God. So He's love too. Okay? And it gives you the ability to make sound judgments, good decisions. to understand what you need to get involved in and what maybe you're not ready for yet. All that is there within you. But you must strengthen the gifts that you have. And how do you do that? You got to serve. That's how you're going to strengthen. You got to serve where you are called. You know, and I emphasize this, not where you are needed, but where you're called to. Because sometimes people get involved in ministries because there's a need, but they weren't called to that ministry. So they just go in there and do the best they can. And maybe we need to do that once in a while just because we have to fill the gap, but we need to be looking for someone that's actually called. And that's what I talk about, you know, in the membership class. I say, you know, are you called here? Is God wanting you to be here? And if so, then you need to be here. And if not, then you need to go where He's calling you. But if He's called you to be here, then you need to be here. And He didn't call you here just to sit in a seat one hour a week on Sunday. There's more to it. There's purpose with what God does. And that's what I'm talking about today. You've got to serve where you're called. Now I got some verses here out of Corinthians. Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. There are different activities, but it's the same God who activates each gift in each person. You get this gift, and some people think you only get one, and some people think you can get several. You know, I'm not going to put God in a box. I think God can do whatever He wants to do. And if you got one gift, then you know what? Use that one gift. And if you think you got three or five, you ought to be really busy. Because what does the Bible say? It says, to whom much is given, much is required. So if you've been given five gifts, much is going to be required of you. There's different gifts, but it's the same Spirit. There's different ministries, but it's the same Lord governing those ministries. And it's the same God that activates that gift within you. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial. A demonstration of the Spirit. You know, it's not that the Spirit's just in there and there's no, He wants, there's going to be a demonstration. It's got to come out of you at some point. To produce what? What is beneficial. And then here's the verse jumps, that was verse 7, that's why I got the three dots, and then this last one is verse 11, because I didn't want to go through everything, because it's a huge topic, okay? And I just want to give you the stuff to kind of motivate you today. But it says, but one and the same Spirit is active in all these, because it goes on to list a whole bunch of gifts. But one and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as He wills. He wills. You see, when you accept Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in you, and now you're going to get a gift. And what that gift, you know, we label them as all these different gifts, but it's my philosophy that the gift is truly the Holy Spirit. That's the gift. And then He begins to manifest Himself through you in different ways. Some people have the gift of mercy. Some have the gift of organization. Some have a gift to teach. There's a gift of service. You know, there's all these different gifts, and it's all Holy Spirit driven. And He picks the gift. You know, if I give you a gift for your birthday, let's say somebody has a birthday, and I'm invited to the party, I bring a gift. Did you pick it? You know, there was a time when we would do Christmas, and it takes away from the gift. You know, we'd do Christmas, and it got to where instead of us just giving what we wanted to, we'd ask, what do you want for Christmas? You know, write a list. That really takes away from the gift. Because there, a lot of times they want something that you don't really think they ought to have. But as a parent, I give the gift to my kids what I think they should have. And God's the same way. We're His children. He's not going to give you a gift that He doesn't want you to have. It's as He wills. Now, I know there's a verse that says, pray for, you know, desire the best gifts. Well, the best gift is the one that God gives you. He's given it to you. You need to strengthen it by using it. You got to serve where you're called. And how do you do that? By stretching. I talked last week about getting out of the comfort zone. That's how you got to leave the comfort zone. What does that require? Faith. Faith. Sometimes we quench the Spirit. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, do not quench the Spirit. And Paul wrote, keep ablaze the gift, the Spirit. That's it within you. Don't quench it. Don't pour a bucket of water on the Holy Spirit. You're missing out. You are absolutely missing out. You get involved. And some of you may say, well, how can I get involved? Well, I don't know. What can you do? What's your gift? You know, as we get older, there's less we can do physically. You know, it just gets... I don't travel as well as I used to. I like to go on mission trips, but they kind of beat me up more now than they used to. But, you know, there's people that they can't even get out of the house. But you know what? They can use a telephone. They can call somebody and encourage them. Pray for somebody. We got this dear man up in Barstow that he's a retired pastor. And I mean, he's pretty bound up. And he comes to our pastor meetings that we have at the association level. And he's got everyone's phone number. And he calls every person every week and prays for them. And he always seems to catch me when I can't answer for whatever reason. But I just call him back. But he'll call and I'll see it. His name's Dave. And on my phone I have Dave from Barstow, because I got like 10 Daves in my phone. So it's Dave from Barstow, and I know who that is. And I answer, and he's like, do you have time? And like, yeah, I do have time. It's encouraging. And he prays for me. He prays for this church. Prays for my family. And it's encouraging. And that's his ministry. That's what he does. And I can tell he prays about the verses. What verse do I tell this pastor? It's always unique. Because I talk to other pastors and they get different verse. Because he knows, we share things in these meetings and he knows things about our life, where we're at. And he's just a dear brother. And I guess he's going to do it until God takes him. You know, that's the way I see it. You got to serve where you're called. God's not going to call you to something you can't do. And what I mean by that is he will empower you to do it. That's where people get tired. Is, you know, when you get into something that it's really not you, it really sucks the life out of you. It's like when my wife wants me to go shopping with her. There is nothing strenuous about walking through that store, but I am drained when we get out of there. She's in the other room. But, I'm not cut out for shopping. I'm sorry. I'm like, I walk in there, I'm there to get a bolt, I go buy a bolt, I leave. I don't stop at the other rack It just doesn't happen with her. You know, we're going there, oh, I need a pair of pants, and we look at everything but pants. And it just sucks the life out of me. But I can be, my favorite commercial is the one where the guy's shopping with his wife. This is an old one. But it's like he's shopping with his wife and he's like, oh, you're killing me, and then this guy, there's this big rack of clothes in the store. And this guy goes, hey, buddy, come in here. And he goes in through the clothes, and there's a TV in there. They're all watching the game, and they got, like, popcorn and stuff, And they're like, we love shopping, because she's going to be in there for 3 hours. We can watch the whole game, But when you're doing something you're not cut out for, it drains you. And that's why a lot of people, like pastors, they're actually pastors that burn out. Why did they burn out? Maybe they were doing something they weren't called to do. I'm not saying they didn't do a good job. I'm not saying, people got saved in their ministry. But when you burn out, you're past, maybe God had a change for them and they didn't take it. They stayed with the church, and they should have gone, and done something else. And what happens is it takes the life out of you, the energy, because now it's not God's energy, because he was one that was empowering you. But now it's your energy, and we are pretty limited people in our own energy. Bottom line. What are you called to do? Serve where you're called. Now, that doesn't mean you don't help where there's help needed, but don't make it your permanent ministry if that's not your deal. When it is your deal, you have all the energy in the world. Because he supplies it. He enables you to do what you need to do. Just remember, he distributes the gift. There's people, I wish I'd gotten this other. Be happy with the one you got. That's the one God wanted for you. And use it. And you'll be surprised when you start using it and you start getting stronger in that gift. There's fruit and you get excited, which just feeds your energy level. Just feeds your desire to do that thing, whatever it might be. There is a heavenly or upward call on the life of every believer. Every believer, you have a calling. You can't sit there and say, what's my calling? You have one. I guess you could say what it is if you haven't bothered to find it. But you have one. You have a call. There is something God wants to do with you. And it's an upward call. And that call came at the beginning of the race. When he saved you, the Holy Spirit took residence within you and begins to manifest himself through you at that point. And God's call continually moves ahead of us as we continue on the course of the race. I wasn't always a preacher. There was a time when I was called to be a teacher. And I taught Sunday school. Then I got to teach the adult Sunday school. And I loved it. And it was good. And then I became a deacon. And I enjoyed my time as a deacon. And then I wasn't a deacon anymore. I went and did something else at another church. And then I became a deacon again. And then I went over to New Mexico in a mission ministry to the Native Americans. And I did that for 6 years, and it was wonderful. I didn't even have a title. I mean, I wasn't a deacon. They called me an assistant pastor, but it wasn't official or nothing. I would just preach when he wouldn't. And we just, you know, and it was wonderful. It was great. Then I came back here and served in a church again as a deacon and a Sunday school teacher again. And then out of that, I ended up here as a pastor. Go where God calls you. It's exciting every step of the way. Is it fearful? Yeah. When I first came here, I was scared to death. Didn't know anybody. Didn't even know what I was doing. But when you're called, He gives you wisdom. He gives you that discernment. He gives you that power of love and strength and sound judgment. And you carry it out. It changes as you're on the course. You do this, and then there's something else out there. He moves ahead of you, challenging us to achieve more and more in Christ Jesus. I look back at all the things I've been privileged to do in the name of the Lord, and I just thank Him for letting me do that stuff. It's great. It's good to have impact for God on someone. God's call brings clarity, vision, and passion to His purpose for our life. When you're working in the call, you all of a sudden you realize, wow, that's why He's got me here. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I have clarity. I have vision. I have passion for what I do. For His purpose for my life. His purpose. You see, that's where contentment comes from, is when you're just fulfilling God's will. Paul wrote in another place, I'm content whatever. He goes, I've learned to be content when I abound, you know, when things are going good. And I've learned to be content in lack, when things are lacking. Why? Because he was always in God's will. He was always following God's purpose for his life. And so whether things were going good or things weren't, you know, because you got to remember, yeah, a lot of times he, you know, he was in king's palaces and stuff like that. And other times he was shipwrecked and in prison. All those things, he learned to be content. Everything in between. The excitement of starting churches all over Asia and Europe. He got to do that. Then he got to be in Rome, in prison for years, for things he didn't do. And yet he was content. And God used him mightily while in prison. That's where this book came from that we're in, Philippians. He wrote it while he was in prison. And when you read it, you'd never know he was in prison. It is through God's call that he wants to conform us to the image of Christ, which is the ends of the race. You see, his calling is the means through which he wants to transform you. When he calls you to do something and you do it and you're scared or whatever, and you say, wow, you know, I'm really not capable. Well, he wants to make you capable. He wants to make you able. And that's how he conforms us, is as we obey him. I mean, in the 6.5 years I've been here, I've grown in areas I never grew before. It was a different task, a different call. And he made me grow. And still growing, still dealing with stuff, still learning. You never get done learning. And that's how he makes you into the image of his son. Because when you're not doing what he calls you to do, what are you in? Rebellion. Let's just call it what it is. God's saying, I want you to teach, and I'm not going to do it. Well, what is that? That's rebellion. And then you wonder why you're not satisfied with anything. Why you're not thrilled to death to be where you are. So let's be committed to finishing the race so that one day we can say, and this is the verse I had John Reed. I have fought the good fight, because it is a fight, folks. My flesh says, don't go to Kenya. Spirit is saying, you need to go. It's a fight. You fight the flesh. You fight the world. You fight the devil. It's a battle that we're in. But when you get to the end of the race, Mary got to the end of the race. I have fought the good fight, and I finished the race. In other words, I did all that God called me to do. I was obedient to the end. And how do you do that? By keeping the faith that no matter what you're going through, God has a reason for it, that there's a purpose in it. Part of that purpose is to conform you to the image of His Son. Another part of that purpose is to mature you and grow you. Kept the faith. So if we do, God will say, well done. And you will know indeed that you are Christ-like. There may be someone here today that you may say, wow, you know, I don't recognize this power being within me. And that could be because you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. There could be someone in here that maybe you've been in church many, many years, but it's always drained you because everything you did was always in your power and not in His. Because His power was not within you. There may be someone here today that would say, Brother Mike, I have never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I recognize that today. Now, if you are that person or persons, then you need to do something about that. You need to make a decision. And how you do that is you come talk to somebody. Talk to me, talk to one of our deacons, talk to a friend that knows how to share the gospel, and you get that taken care of. Most important decision you'll ever make in your life. For the rest of us, you have the power within you. Do you know your gift? If you don't, there's ways to find out what it is. I can help you with that. Maybe you just need to find out what your gift is. There could be some that in here today that you know. You know your gift, but you've been afraid or you've been reticent to get involved. You got some fear. There might be some in here today that you're serving, but you know in your heart that you're in the wrong place. You're not serving like in the place you should be serving. Maybe you need to make a move, whatever that may be in your life. Maybe some here that you're in a comfort zone and you are afraid of getting out of it. Because that's what this requires. To grow. Wherever you're at, I hope you'll let God minister to you. And I hope you'll make a decision today. If I can have every head bowed, every eye closed, just want to give people freedom to respond. That's all we're doing here, just giving people freedom to respond. Is there anybody here today that would say, Brother Mike, I've never accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I've never done it. And I need to. I recognize my need. Anybody like that, just slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. I'll not point you out. I'll just pray for you. That's all. For the rest of us, how many would say, I don't even know for sure what my gift is, and I'd like prayer about that. How many like that? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. How many would say, I know my gift, but I've not been doing it. I've been kind of afraid, and I just like prayer about that. Anybody like that? I know my gift, but I'm just not. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. How many would say, I just need to get moving. I've been stagnant a while, and I just need to get moving. Let God use me. Start fulfilling my purpose. Amen. God bless you. Raise your hand if that's you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come to you and I ask you to really minister to these folks that raise their hands, Lord. It is good to come to you and ask you to change us, to ask you to give us more faith, to ask you to give us strength, to ask you to take away our fear, Lord. And Lord, I'm asking you to do all those things and all that pertains to here today. Father God, give them direction, give them grace, and give them strength, and encourage them, Lord, to step forward and do the things that they know they ought to be doing. Lord, give them wisdom. Father God, help us to finish our race that we would indeed hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Help us to be like Christ. In his name I pray, amen. This is your time. As the music goes, you make a decision right now. You decide what you do with what you've heard today. How are you going to respond to God? This is your time. Take advantage of it. Father, we come before you thankful for what Christ did on the cross for every person. Help us, Lord, as we have accepted his sacrifice and his resurrection as proof and payment for our sins, Lord. And now, Lord, you've called us to grow. Lord God, I pray that we would indeed be serious about seeking first your ways, your kingdom, and allow you to provide us with what we need to fulfill our purpose, the purpose you created us for. Help us, Lord, to understand the importance of obeying you in this area. Help us, Lord, to fulfill your wishes in our lives, that we would indeed one day be able to say, well, hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you, Lord, for your word, which gives us the means to do it. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done in our lives up to this point. And help us, Lord, to be focused on what you are doing now and what you want to do in the future. And we will give you the glory, for it is all you that does it through us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.